That revelation can happen on a Tuesday night. You can go a little bit deeper and even say that. I believe with all of my heart that the ones that we have been praying for to grace this house can be shaken by what's getting ready to happen here in this house. You see, when you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, anything's possible. Is that getting old to be heard? I said, when you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, anything is possible. I'm going to jump right on into the message. Are we having children's church? I don't know if we're having children's church, then we'll dismiss the kids. All right, Brother Jay, if you'll get Zechariah 4 and 10 for me. Zechariah 4 and 10. There's something special that's in this place here tonight. We just witnessed incredible things happening there in Congress and Youth Congress in Indianapolis and Landmark. It was amazing to be able to stand there and see some 35,000 young people calling upon the name that's above every other name. There was a charge and there was a challenge that was set forth to our young people. And I believe that we have yet to see what God is going to do with the youth group here at Landmark United Pentecostal Church. Zechariah 4 and 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? Somebody say small things. For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. I want to place our focus on the small things. For who hath despised the day of small things? It's a question. And then, at the very end, the eyes of the Lord, which are all around us. Brother Jay, we're going to jump to 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 through 37. 1 Samuel 17 and 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear. Now it's a bad day if a lion shows up, but then also a bear showing up at the same time, that's a real, real bad day. And took a lamb out of the flock. Somebody say, it got him. It got him. Came out and it just grabbed the lamb, and that's it. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Next scripture. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard. Now look, there's some big guys that go to church here. I'm not one of them. But there are some big guys that go to church here. But I don't believe there's anybody in this place that if a lion came running up to you, you're just going to grab that joker by his beard. Listen here, buddy. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. See. Now, I noticed this today when I was reading this. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. He had already made up his mind. This is going to happen. This is done deal. It's going to happen. But it's almost like David said, he's not believing me just probably from what I've done. I'm going to tell him another reason why this is about to happen. Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Saul didn't know. The Lord was already with him. You see, a lot of times I believe that we come to church and we wait for the pastor to say, oh, you got this. The Lord is with you. Come up here to that altar and let me lay hands upon you and just let you know that the Lord is with you. Somebody in this place needs to realize here tonight that the Lord's already with you. He's been walking with you. He's been talking with you from the very day that he filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's been with you. Stop looking for reassurance and just stand on your own two feet and say, you know what? Today's the day of salvation. This thing's about to happen. I want to go to the Lord in prayer once again here tonight, and I just want to ask God to open our minds and our hearts and our ears that we're not thinking about anything else, that we're not worried about anything else, that we're just simply wanting to receive from God. Because I believe that the Lord wants to speak to someone in this house here tonight. You believe it? You believe it? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Mighty God, once again, Lord, we're calling upon your name. God, asking you, dear Jesus, to speak to your church. God, to speak to your people, oh God. I ask you right now, dear Lord, to wrap your arms, dear Jesus, around someone in this place, dear God. Let them see, dear Jesus, that you are with them, God. And I pray right now, dear Lord, all of that in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. You can be seated. I promise that I will not be too long-winded at all here tonight. After I received the phone call from Pastor that I was going to be here tonight, it was weighing heavy on my mind, all the things that Pastor is going through, and it was weighing heavy on my mind. My grandfather being up there, being up in years of age and not being able to get around. And basically, what was weighing heavy on my mind is this. I know that Pastor has been praying for over 30-some years that God would fill his dad with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The very same prayer that he prayed for his mother for several years. And if I'm not mistaken, the very day that my grandmother, on her deathbed, mom and dad arrived at the hospital, and you can almost kind of place yourself in those shoes and beginning to think, oh my goodness, we've been praying this for years and this coming down to this point right now. It's almost done. It's almost finished. God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And if I'm not mistaken, mom began to pray with her. And as she began to pray, she began to tell her, we've been praying for God to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's just let this happen right now. Let's just believe God together and see this happen. And on her deathbed, God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now it's all coming down to a head again for my grandfather. And my dad is there with him right now. And he's believing God for a miracle. He's believing God for signs and wonders. And he's believing God to fill his dad with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe with all of my heart that combined with the prayers of Landmarks United Pentecostal Church, that can happen. I believe with all of my heart that not only can it happen, but it will happen. In this passage of scripture that we just read, David gives us a glimpse into the mindset of a true leader. David realized that if I allowed one sheep to be taken, then I will have to allow all sheep to be taken. So when the approach was made to the bear and to the lion, all we hear next in verse 35 and 36 is this, I smote them. Every now and then we need to get the spiritual mindset and attitude of simply this. When something arises against us or our family, that we're not going to allow one situation to go by without a fight. We're not going to allow one minute or one day go by where we're going to look at the enemy and just simply say, you know what, it's okay, it's just one of them. I'm fine with that. I'm too tired today to fight. But rather, we're going to face them head to head, and we're going to go to war against them, and we will not let one, not one, get by. Smote defined means this, to affect suddenly and strongly with a specified feeling. We need to get a feeling towards what the Lord is trying to take us to. We need to get a feeling towards the salvation of our families. We need to get a feeling towards seeing our kids and our children, our young people rejoicing and shouting and praying and crying and being at an altar. We need to get a feeling that drives us to want to see it, that drives us to want to witness it, that drives us no matter what it takes, no matter what I got to do, no matter what I got to say, no matter where I got to go, no matter what happens, I have got to see this happen. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest joys that I ever see is when my children are standing back there with me and in the middle of a service, I see a tear beginning to roll down their face. Why do you feel so good about that, Brother Carson? Because I know that at a young age, God is already beginning to impact and touch, and they're beginning to witness and realize what it feels like to be in the presence of an almighty God. I don't ever want it to get to the point to where Cooper or Bristol is able to stand in a house of God and a song begin to go forth or preach and go forth, and they can't be moved. They can't be stirred. They can't find an altar. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to read their Bible. But yet they're in the house of God. I want them to be able to feel what I'm talking about. sometimes we have to have that feeling. And when you receive that feeling, that specified feeling, then you're able to smite the enemy. 1 Samuel 1, or 16, verses 10 through 11 says this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. We're going to back up just a little bit now, and we're going to look at where David began. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." Imagine. 7 boys standing there, just heard that Samuel, he's coming, and he's going to anoint somebody to be king. Here we are. Buddy, don't you know that they was in their best outfit? Don't you know that they was dressed to a T? Don't you know they were polished, and they were standing there, and Samuel looked at him and said, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." You see, when the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, "I have anointed one of Jesse's boys to be the king," the word says that Samuel immediately believed it to be one that was tall and one that was strong. But God wanted the one who he could trust with the small things. And I want to talk to you for just the next few minutes about some small things. It's as though David wasn't in trouble with the bear or the lion, but rather he was in an interview for a king's position. God had a position that needed to be filled, but he needed to see if David could handle the small things. I want to bring to your realization here tonight that something simply this, and this is what the Lord gave me tonight to build upon. When God isn't intervening, maybe he's interviewing. When God's not intervening on your situation, when God's not intervening on your problem, when God's not intervening in the middle of your circumstance, could it be that our God is interviewing? You see, I believe with all of my heart that there are individuals in this house here tonight, especially on a Tuesday night. You're here for Bible study. You're here to hear the Word of God. You're here to hear something that's going to challenge you, that's going to charge you, that's going to draw you closer to His throne, that's going to make you stick closer than ever before. You're here to learn. You're not here to be just moved by a song. You're not here to get caught up in the hype. You're here to learn. You're here to hear from the Word of God. And sometimes, as I've already said, when God is not intervening on your problem, could it be that He's interviewing you for a position? You see, because I believe that there's individuals in this house right now that God has His eyes upon, that one day you're going to be an incredible home Bible study teacher, that maybe one day you're going to be an incredible pastor, that maybe one day you're going to be a missions director, maybe one day you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, maybe one day you're going to be a church planner, maybe one day you're going to be the greatest soul winner that Landmark has ever seen, and we're going to have to bring more seats in just because you came to the house of God and you're bringing your family and your friends. But maybe in the middle of your circumstance, God is looking at you and He's saying, "You know what? This is an interview process." You see, David, we got this picture up here of a shepherd. He's standing there and he's looking over the flock. He's guarding over him. David standing there taking care of the possessions of his dad. It wasn't even his. It wasn't his sheep. But yet he was called to a purpose. He was called to do something by his father, and his father said, "Protect the sheep." He could have easily, as a young man, I don't know about you, but if a bear came running out of the woods and grabbed hold of a sheep, chances are I'm going to be like, "Okay, guys, let's go this way. He's good. Let's just do this." Lion pops out of the woods and grabs one, so let's just go over here just a little bit. This young man felt something inside of him that began to stir and that began to quake and that began to move. And all of a sudden, he realized something. He had the mindset of a king when all of a sudden he said, "If I allow that animal to take one, then I'm going to have to allow him to take them all." He didn't pick up a rock and taunt it. He didn't pick up a stick and throw it at it and hope it scared it off. You see, too many times we face our enemies, we face our devils, we face our problems, we face those addictions and afflictions, and we think it's good enough by just picking up a stick and throwing it at it and saying, maybe that'll keep it away for another day or two. But any animal, any wild beast that you throw a rock or a stick at, what does it do? It just taunts it. And it makes it more and more and more angry and mad. And all of a sudden, it begins to come at you at more force. It begins to come at you with a little bit more of an attitude of ready to kill you, ready to destroy you, and ready to grab hold and just completely obliterate you if you're throwing sticks and stones. But somewhere along the line, David looked at it and he said, you know what? This is a situation or a problem that I've got to take care of now. Yeah, there's more bears. Yeah, there's more lions, but they haven't tried to attack this. That one has, so I've got to kill it. That one has, so I've got to destroy it. That one has, so I've got to get rid of it. And he came to it face to face and he said, you know what? I'm a young man, but I'm going to take care of this situation. Not one time in the Word of God does it say that just before he approached that lion or that bear, he said, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. He did that with Goliath, but not the bear, not the lion. Why? It's because it was his mindset. He said, this is in me. I'm a shepherd, and a shepherd's duty is to protect its flock. I'm speaking to a child of God here in this place today that needs to realize you're a child of God, and a child of God has got to be just that, a child of God. What is the genetic makeup of a child of God? What is it that makes a child of God? What is it that defines you as a child of God? If you were placed upon the block right now and the Lord was beginning to look at you and say, what have you done? What will you do? What did you accomplish? What did you sacrifice? What did you give? What did you pray about? How long did you read? How many services did you attend? What would be your answer? I know it's a Tuesday night, but I'm believing with all of my heart that I am speaking to a prime group right now that is so ready to go a little bit deeper than ever before. We're ready to reach new levels that we've never seen before. And I believe that I'm speaking to home Bible study teachers in this place, that when we walk across this lot and we step into that next building, you're going to be the ones that are going to say, okay, let's do this thing. I'm coming against every bear. I'm coming against every lion. I'm coming against every addiction. And I'm coming against every affliction. We're getting ready to take this thing on because there's things that need to be destroyed before we get over there. Before our children can come to this house and feel the presence of God at this altar, there's got to be some addictions that are broken. Before our moms and dads can come to this altar and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's got to be some attitudes that are broken. Shepherd realized his responsibility. The shepherd realized that, yes, I could die. But I would rather die in my situation doing my job than die running. I heard this said a long time ago, and it's so true. When did we ever hear or believe that being an apostolic Christian was going to be an easy life? Yeah, there's going to be people that are going to come against you. Yeah, there's going to be people that are going to get in your face and begin to question what you do. But you know what? They're also going to be standing there when miracle signs and wonders begin to happen, when you begin to call upon that name that you live for, that name that you live for everything, with everything that's within you, the name that's above every other name. I'm telling you right now, lives are going to be changed because of people that are in this place right now. And I want to challenge you to be what God has called you to be. If He's called you to be a saint of God, then you be the best saint of God that you can be. If He's called you to be a Bible study teacher, then you be the best Bible study teacher that you can be. If He's called you to be music director, you know what? Be the best music director that you can be. If He's called you to be a mom or a dad, you be the best mom or dad that you can be. There's something, though, that has got to click within the minds of people. You see, we look at things sometimes and we believe, well, that's something small. That's something minute. That's something little. Doesn't really matter a lot. I mean, gracious, it doesn't get much smaller than a sheep. You know, back in those days, in the days of David, when they had sheep and they had shepherds, those flocks or herds, whatever you call them, they wouldn't be just like 10 or 15. They would be hundreds, if not thousands. Hear me now. Hundreds, if not thousands. So you have all of these sheep that are standing out there. It's almost like going to Congress, Brother Bailey, and 35,000 people, and then One person out there gets a cold. Not too big of a deal. Doing pretty good. Thousands of sheep out there, and a bear comes out and grabs just one of them. What's the first thing that came to your mind? It's just one thing. It's just one animal. But small things matter, Landmark. You see, if we get the mindset of believing that we can allow one thing to go, we can allow another thing to go, we can allow this to be laid aside, we can allow ourselves to disregard this for just a little bit, and it's not a big deal because there's others. There's other people here. There's other people here. One of them's not going to matter. Then we begin to open the door to our family. I can give you Bible for it. Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot. They came to his home. The angels of the Lord came to his home. And those streets were full of wickedness. Those streets were just full of wickedness. And the Bible says that the door to his home was wide open. He thought one house in the city, probably not a big deal. They're just walking around up there, it's okay. And then the angel of the Lord came in. Long story short, you know it. He said, you know what, I'm trying to save these angels. Let me just give you my daughter. Take my daughter. You see, sometimes when we allow ourselves to just let a little thing go, and then all of a sudden we begin to believe that it's okay to let our family go. And I'm here tonight to tell you that it's not okay that one family from this house begin to be taken from the enemy, begin to be stirred, begin to be messed up, begin to be abused. I'm trying my heart's best to preach what the Lord has laid on my heart here in this place tonight. But Landmark, we've got to realize that the little things matter. Small things matter. Listen, let me just get to the point of the matter. I guess I can do this. You know what? The offering plate comes around. You don't give. That's a small thing. Yeah, maybe in your mind, but it matters. Sunday morning service comes along. You roll over and you hit the alarm clock. You say, hey, it's a small thing. Yeah, it might be a small thing in your mind, but it matters. You see, one day there's going to be an alarm that's going to go off from heaven. That trumpet's going to sound, and you're not going to be able to roll over and hit that one. Small things matter. I believe with all of my heart that if this church would just bind together stronger than it's ever been before, brother with brother, sister with sister, and begin to say, you know what? We're going to take this church to a new level. We're going to take this church to a new height. We're going to become something that we've never been before. We're going to see that church of 1,000. We're going to give till it hurts. We're going to be there till it hurts. We're going to be at every event. We're going to pray every time we pray. Every Saturday night's going to be full. It's not going to be shocking to see 200 people at Saturday night prayer. It's going to be shocking if they don't show up. Don't you begin to think not one person in this house here tonight that I'm trying to get onto somebody that's here in this place. I already told you this is Tuesday night Bible study night, and you're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. You want more from God. Now it's my duty and my job to share what God has given me. And I believe that the church is being called to greatness. There are people that are in this house right now that you're here alone. You're here, your family members. They might be at home. They might be in bed. They might be out to eat. They might be doing whatever they're doing. But you're here alone, and you came because there's a drawing. You came because there's a pull. You got to be in the presence of God. I don't know why, Brother Carson, but I've got to be in the presence of God. I'll tell you why. Because God is interviewing you for something so much greater. When David was grabbing that sheep, and he was saying, I'm taking you back. I'm sure he was covered in mud, and I'm sure he was dirty, but God was looking at him and saying, that's king material. Could it be that in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of your problem, in the middle of your trial, that God's looking at you and saying, I know it's dirty. I know the way that people are talking about you. I know the way that people look at you. I know what you're facing at work. I know what you're facing with sickness. I know what you're facing with family. I know what you're facing with finances. But look at what he's doing. That's king material. Said this a long time ago. Many, raise your hand if you've ever done this, prayed for God to give you a testimony. Come on, raise your hand if you've ever prayed, God, give me a testimony, something that I can share with someone to increase faith. Raise your hand. I want to see it. Don't put it back down. Come on, raise your hand. All across this place, I knew it. I've prayed, God, give me a testimony. And then when situation arises, when situation comes our way, we get caught up in the middle of it and we say, why, God, would you do that to me? And it's almost like God says, whoa. You can't have a testimony if you don't go through something. You see, sometimes Well, not every time we go through a problem, not every time we face something, is it the devil trying to beat up on us. It's just God calling us to greatness. It's God calling us to be something bigger. It's God calling us to look in the face of an enemy that's saying something bad about you, that's bad-mouthing you, and begin to say, you know what? I love you, brother. I'm here for you. If you need me, let's do it. Let's go plant them dove fields. Let's do this thing. We're friends. We're brothers. Let's do this. Let's have revival. God calling you to greatness. You see, Pastor, this message came to my mind because yesterday when I received the phone call from Dad, I could see it on his face. I could see the worry. I could see the fear because he doesn't know. He doesn't know when he's going to lose his dad. He doesn't know when he's going to lose his stepmom. He doesn't know any other family up there that's going to take care of everything. Chances are, if when it happens, the phone calls are going to begin to come into my mom and dad's home, and they're going to say, I need you to take care of this, I need you to take care of that. And so worry and fear, all of this piling up on top of him, because he is human. Yes. When Pastor was at the hospital years ago, I believe it was some 10, 11 years ago now, so, and the doctor said, you got cancer. Nasal pharynx cancer, as a matter of fact, it's too close to the brainstem, we can't operate. Me and my brother came home, and we're sitting in the living room, my mom, my dad sitting there, and then all of a sudden here walks in Brother Huntley, and he's in there too, and you get that many people together, something ain't right. He set us down, and Brother Huntley said, I want to tell you boys something, and began to share with us what was going on. Immediately fear overwhelms you. Why? Because we're human. Can't overlook the humanity aspect of this thing. Yeah, we've got a name that's above every other name that we can call upon, but you know what? We're human. And so when all this stuff began to pile up on Pastor, it's as though the Lord began to say, you know what? We know now what God's plan was. Hindsight's 20/20. We know now what God was going to do. We know now how God was going to raise him up, and he was going to be a better preacher than he's ever preached before. He was going to bring sermons to that pulpit as though he sat before the very throne of God, and God was speaking with him so he could hear as though he was talking to a neighbor. All of a sudden, God began to bless and God began to restore. But we didn't know at the moment that it was an interview. I remember, is this okay? I remember when I was a child, and my dad was going through that. Many times, mom and dad, they would send me and my brother out of town when my dad was sick because they didn't want us to see him like that. Many times they would send us out of town, and we'd come back home, and dad would be back at it again, and we didn't know anything was bad. We didn't know he had a doctor's appointment. While he was up there, he was connected to all these tubes, and he was throwing up, and the doctor was saying, I don't know what's going on, I don't know what's happening. And he'd pull through, and then we'd come back home. We didn't know. Mom and dad protected us that way. We didn't know all the situations that were going on. But I do know one thing. I do know that there were countless times that at 2:00 in the morning, I would hear faint footsteps coming in my bedroom, and I would hear a door just slowly creak open. And I wouldn't roll over because I didn't want my parents to know that I was awake, but I would just simply listen. I would lay and listen, and I would hear my father's weak voice begin to say, God bless my family. And then the door would close, and I'd hear those footsteps going upstairs, up steps that he had the hardest time in the world walking up. And while he made his way to the top of the steps, I could hear him breathing heavy because he didn't know if he was going to make another 4 steps. And when he got to the top, he got there because he didn't want to wake his family, but he needed to have some time to talk to God. And I know now of the many miracles that happened in that process. And I do know now that there was one night that he went to the top of those steps and he said he thought he was going to fall on his face. And then all of a sudden, he felt an angel of the Lord walk behind him and pick him up and begin to carry him. And Dad said, all I could do was lay in his arms and just cry. I'm speaking to someone here in this house today that may be going through a situation that may have your faith on the line of wondering where you should be, what you should be, what you should be doing, how you should be acting, how you should be talking, how you should be attending, how you should be devoted, and how you should be living it, loving it, and giving it with everything that's within you. You're on the line of it, and I'm here to tell you tonight that you're in an interview process because God has a plan for you. You say, I've never done anything great for God. I've never been anything great in the eyes of God. My family has never done anything incredible for God. I don't have anybody in my family that's in the house of God. What could I do? And God's saying, I've got my eyes on you, and you have the potential to be a king.
Because hear me now, Landmark, sometimes when God's not intervening, it's because He's interviewing.
I wish with all of my heart that there would be someone here in this house tonight that would say, you know what, God, I might have made a few mistakes in the past. I might have not acted right in the past. I might not have been completely devoted. I might have been Christian just in speech. Just in what I say I am. Just in what I say I do. Just in how many times I allow myself to be committed. Just in how many times I allow myself to attend. But God, here tonight, I'm going to make up my mind. Hear me, Landmark. It's as simple as just stepping out and saying, God, here I am. I've been facing the lion. I've been facing the bear. They whooped up on me pretty good. They tore me pretty good. They bit me pretty good. They hurt me pretty bad, God. But I'm still standing. Why am I standing, God? Maybe it's because you've called me to something greater than this. And so I'm going to fight again. I'm going to stand on my own two feet. And I'm coming to them this time as I did the Philistine. And I'm going to say, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you right now that when you begin to make that commitment and that devotion to an almighty God, He's going to meet you in your situation. Said something, I believe it was last Sunday, and I didn't even realize I said it until afterwards, after service. I walked to the pastor, I said, did I say this? Almost felt a little bit guilty, but then I began to pray about it, and I began to ask God, what was that about? I said, you have no right to complain and gripe if you can't get out and begin to worship God. As soon as I said it, I stepped back, I thought, whoa. But let's think about this. Many times we want to sit down on what we have potential to be. I wish with all my heart, just like the man of God said to the servant, he said, open his eyes so that he can see. Then he looked at that servant and the servant said, Ben, what are we going to do, buddy? They're all around us. We got this little itty bitty army. They're surrounding us. What are we going to do? The man of God said, open his eyes. And all of a sudden, read your Bible. The Bible says that servant boy's eyes were opened. And when they were opened, he saw the mountains full of chariots of fire and angels standing round about him. There's more that are for us than there are that are against us. Landmark. There's more that are for us in this house here tonight than there are that are against us. And I'm telling you right now, if we could see with spiritual eyes, you wouldn't see a building that's just been sitting here for years. You wouldn't see a building that's been sitting here that's got paint on the walls, that's got names on 2x4s. You wouldn't see chairs that are stained with the tears of people that have been praying for so many years. You wouldn't see carpet that is torn and that's tattered. You wouldn't see roofs that have begun to leak over the years because we've been doing everything that we can do to have revival. You wouldn't see... Hey, what you would see though, you would see angels, you would see chariots of fire, you would see the Lord walking around this house, and He began to say, I've carried you this far, I've been with you this long, I've walked with you this far, I've talked with you this long, I've carried you, and I'm not about to set you down now. The Holy Ghost is in this place right now. You would hear the Lord and the angels of the Lord begin to say, I was with you when your marriage was in turmoil. I was with you when you didn't know where your kids were. I was with you when you was hooked up on all those situations. I was with you when you were addicted to those drugs. I was with you when you were in your home and you thought nobody was looking. I was with you when you said, I don't know what else I'm going to do. Oh, I wish someone would just go ahead and just begin to do what you want to do so bad in this place. The skin's crawling on the bone simply because you just want to say, thank you, God. I'm preaching faith in this place right now. Mom, I didn't sit behind you as a 3- and 4-year-old, me and Cody sitting there singing along to the songs on Thomason Street because I thought that this thing was not going to make it. I sat there and I held tight to the hand of God, and I'm standing behind this microphone today because I've got faith in what God is doing. I'm not sitting here, standing here right now with a silver spoon in my mouth. I know what it's like to go through situation. I don't have to share it, but I will share it. Me and my wife right now are living in a home that we do not even own. Tomorrow they could call and say, you got to move out. And I would have to tell my kids, let's go. We got to find an apartment. We got to do something. I know what it's like to be in the middle of a situation. I know what it's like to be scared. But could it be that in the middle of a problem, we're in the middle of an interview. And so if this is my interview, God, I give you glory.
If this is my interview, oh God, I'm still here. If this is my interview, oh God, I'm going to praise you. If this is my interview, oh God, I'm here to worship you. I wish someone would just begin to remember and recall what God brought you from. What you're willing to allow your kids to go through. What you're willing to allow them to see you go through. Before you realize that, hey, that very same name that I called on then is the very same name that exists today, and I can call upon it then, now. Oh, the Holy Ghost is in this place. My God. When God's not intervening, He's interviewing. Come on, shepherd. There's a bear that's trying to take one. Is one enough? Is one fight enough? Or is it a small thing? It doesn't matter. Oh, I'm calling for a commitment right now. I don't know what else to say. I've said what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. I'm just calling for a commitment right now. You see, because before this church can go any further, before this church can ever reach the 1,000 potential that God has told us is going to happen, there has got to be a people. There has got to be a church. There has got to be a calling to the saints of God. There has got to be a young person that'll say, God, use me. There's got to be someone that'll say, God, use me, oh God. Someone that can look past all the hype and all the... Someone that can look past what they think things should be, how they think things should run, and just simply say, you know what? Another song doesn't have to be sung. Another message doesn't have to be preached. We're going to have revival because God placed us here for such a time as this. And this is that. Samuel, do you see the king? No, not this one. Why? Well, he's not dirty. Samuel, do you see a king? Is he a king? No. Not this one. He puts on a good face and he looks pretty strong, but he's not working in the field. Samuel, is this one? How about this one? Is he king? Nah. There's not a king that stands before me. Well, which one is he, Samuel? Jesse, don't you have another? Well, yeah, I do, but he's the scrawniest one. He's the littlest one. He's the one that just protects those little old sheep. Samuel speaks. Is he the one that the Lord saw take care of that bear? Is he the one that the Lord saw defeat that lion? Is he the one that God's been interviewing? Get him here. The young boy approaches Samuel. Mud on his pants. Dirt in his hair. Stands there, a little lad, a little boy. What can I do, Samuel? What can I do? I have no skills. I'm not the most favorite. I'm not the oldest. I'm not the strongest. Literally, they've given me the job of protecting the sheep. Samuel tells him, David, take a knee. It begins to pour the oil of anointing upon his head. Chosen you for a time such as this. You're going to be a king. Not only are you going to be a king, but let me speak revelatory to you right now. There's going to be a bloodline that's going to begin to flow from you. That bloodline that's going to flow from you is going to be a baby years down the road. It's going to be our Savior in the flesh. The very one that created the heavens and the earth and placed those stars into the heavens and told them, don't you move. The very one that shaped the mountains out of the ground and said, this is the way it'll be. The very one that created the oceans. Yes, yes, David, that's what I'm talking about. Dust that mud off your pants because the bloodline begins now. And as that oil began to run from the top of his head, a young boy thinking, I'm not worthy. As the oil flowed, the bloodline flowed. I'm calling for someone right now to simply say, God, I know I'm not worthy. God, I know that I'm nobody, oh God. But Lord, if you can use anything, oh God, use me. Come on, somebody, lift your voice all across this house.
In the midst,
come on, mom. Come on, dad.
Children,
you got kids that are dependent on you.
The Lord said
if you
he
can't
would
beat
be.
That lion now and you allow them to come out and take your child, they're going to come back for another one.
Very many.
They're going to come back for another one.
It can be just
that lion's coming out of the woods and he's coming for your dedication. He's coming for your hunger. He's coming for your salvation. He's coming for your Bible reading. He's coming for your fasting. Are you going to let him have it?
That I've felt oft times before.
Somebody dedicate. Come on, young people. Stir up the gift of God that's within you right now.
That I've been with the Lord.
Let's just make this house into a house of prayer. Oh, there's a strength that's rising up.
Wings,
there's kings and queens.
I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Somebody find somebody in this house right now. I want you to be sensitive to the Spirit. Find them. Place a hand on their shoulder and just begin to share with
hush
begin to pray with
around
them.
Us.
Come on.
As God's glory fills this place.
Come on. Tell them. You might be weak. You might be weary. You might feel defeated. But I'm here now. Come on. Let's go to war.
I can almost see his face.
Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost.
And my heart. Oh,
What an incredible, incredible time with God here tonight. Jesus. I believe that the Lord has spoken to many people here in this place. I know He's spoken to me. Do you feel as though the Lord's changed you? The Lord's made you better? I know you do. I want to challenge each and every one of you to not just allow this to stay here in the house of God when you walk out those doors, but to carry it with you. I've challenged each and every one of you here tonight on a Tuesday night home Bible study, and I knew I could talk to you like this because it is just that, a Tuesday night home Bible study. A Tuesday night Bible study time. You're here to get meat. And I believe with all of my heart that that's what the Lord has given us. It's our duty now to go forth and to spread the gospel. But not to just do so in our words, not to just do so with a bumper sticker, but rather to do so in our actions, to do so with how we live it, love it. When people look at you, I want them to say, hey, I see Him. When people look at you, I want to see them, I want them to say they see hope.